and welcome to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today, I have with me a poet, Amy Leo. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started writing?
Hi, so my name is Amy Leo, and I would say that the very first poem that I've ever written that what I felt was more of a mature poem was a poem called False Hope. And I wrote this poem when I was about 13. This was me expressing my emotions, preteen kind of feelings, because I was trying to get into this IB program, which some people might know about, and I was put on the waiting list instead. So that was the first poem that I'd written. Yeah, I think that was the first one. And then since then, poetry has been pretty consistent for the most part. A few years when I stopped writing, but it did not serve me at all. I just find that I have to write. I'm one of those people where I express myself better through writing than verbally, and I need that avenue to have the freedom to freely express myself.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So have you been writing on and off your entire life, but it wasn't until you applied to that IV program that you started taking poetry seriously?
I would say like before that, I didn't really write much poetry before I was 30, or even if I did, it was maybe for a school assignment here and there. I started to take poetry more seriously when I was 13. I went through a few years in high school, like grade 11 and a bit of 12, where I didn't write poetry. The thing is, I usually tend to write poetry when I feel a jolt of inspiration. It's usually when something moves me, something compels me to. Mm-hmm. I don't write by choice. I tell people I really don't think I chose writing. I think it chose me because I feel that inclination. I feel like an itch to write.
And you find something inspiring to write about.
Exactly. That's how some of my best poems have come to be. I was 17 when something else happened. It was a relationship, something like that happened, and I got really hurt from it. So I picked up the pencil again, started writing. I usually tend to write better typing. Actually, I didn't pick up a pencil. Picked up my laptop, sat down with my laptop, started writing. It happened again when I was around 19. I've had moments in my life that have brought me back to writing. And I've had moments where I have tried to get away from it because I always felt like writing was, you know, like, what's the point in writing if nothing comes out of it? It's not like a job or anything. That's what I said to myself.
Yes.
It's not going to get me a degree. It's not going to make me money. Or so I thought. I just didn't think of it as a potential side hustle. And the practical side of me held me back from making it anymore. But I've always felt the inclination to write. And eventually I decided to publish a book.
No, that's pretty relatable for a lot of creatives out there. You never think that the creative outlet you're pursuing, it might just be a passion of yours, or it's something you do because you need to express yourself, and you never take it seriously because you never think, oh, this could be potentially something that I enjoy doing and I can turn it into a business, or I can turn it into this revenue stream. You just think, oh, it's something I just do on the side, and maybe I should concentrate my efforts more on something that's going to make me money or be more practical or is an achievement. And that temptation is so difficult for creatives to resist or even just pursue what they love doing.
I was going to say, I asked myself the question, why do I write? And the thing is, writing for me is how other people feel when they speak their mind. And writing is just another way for me to voice myself. And it's the most natural way. In a lot of ways, it's the way that I've known best, because I've gone through periods of my life where I was in isolation a lot. I didn't know how to express myself properly verbally. But if you gave me a chance to write it down, then I could express myself much more eloquently. So that is the reason why I write.
It's funny how when you get all those thoughts and ideas onto a page, you can actually start to organize them and structure them. even if it's your own internal battles that you're fighting, once they're on paper, then you can assess what's problematic in your life and it's a coping mechanism or a growth strategy, I find.
And it can be really therapeutic because you get that chance to find patterns, maybe in your relationships, patterns in your own reaction to whatever happens. Because I have noticed that a lot of people are struggling a lot in their own ways. And sometimes just picking up that pencil or sitting down to write can help you to filter through your thoughts and feelings and just find that clarity.
Yes. I was scrolling through your Instagram and I saw a couple of your poems. I love the humor that you have in your poems, or that one poem that I was telling you about. It's amazingly well written and it's so relatable. How do you create writing that is so relatable to other people? Do you intend it to be relatable when you're writing it, or are there tactics or strategies that you use?
It's so interesting, like, being asked that question, because I don't know if I have any real conscious strategies that I think of. Like, I don't really plan it out. I tend to write really spontaneously. I was saying I feel a jolt of inspiration. And sometimes that moment passes. I pass that golden opportunity and then I have to wait till it comes back again. So I wish I could sound a little more like a mentor. I don't know, like someone who's, okay, here are my strategies for writing. Go try it yourself. I wish I could do that. But for me, I can share like how some of my poems have come to be, because they arise in different ways. It's just not consistent and it's not predictable. That's the thing. But the one you were talking about, and is it okay if I swear on this podcast?
Okay.
And I just wanted to confirm that.
Yes.
So this one is actually one of my most punchy ones. It's one of my most, I don't even know, like badass ones. I usually don't write like this. That's the thing. But it's the one called Everyone Is Fucking, right? And I was actually in a sad mood. I was feeling sad when I wrote this, because I was thinking about my own trust issues and my own inability to open up to another person and be vulnerable, especially sexually, just because I have experienced assault before. And after that incident, it wasn't actually the assault itself that affected me the most. It was actually my parents' reaction to it that affected me a lot. And since that incident, I haven't been the same, or like I haven't approached anything intimate the same way. I haven't approached partners in the same way, because it really, the fact that my story was not validated by loved ones really affected me, because it made me doubt whether or not the assault even happened. And that's a very dangerous thing for any assault survivor to think, to feel like they can't even believe themselves or trust themselves. Ever since that incident, I've just been realizing that there's a lot of people around me who are fully capable of letting go in this area, or they don't have as much inhibitions as me. And so I feel, at least I perceive, it may not be true, but I perceive that everyone else around me is having this jolly good time. And here I am on my own, and people are buying things for their significant others, for their children. They're with the community, and I'm always an outcast.
So okay.
Yeah, exactly. Other poems, I actually start with the title. This started with the title first, and then I wrote the poem. Other poems, I start with the poem first. Maybe I start from the middle. Maybe I start from the very last verse, and then I write my way up.
Yes.
A lot of my poems are inspired by songs. It's like regular pop songs that you hear on the radio. Sometimes I hear a melody, and then I just suddenly think of a verse. I don't know where it comes from, but I just suddenly think of something. But that's just like a little sample of how my poems have come to be.
Yes. I'm so sorry to hear about the assault. I wish you all the best in the future, and I hope nothing like that ever happens to anyone or you again. I want to just talk about your writing. You said that you listen to music and you hear melody. By any chance, do you have a bit of a musical background, or is that just because you enjoy music?
So I do actually have a musical background, and maybe that's why I feel very comfortable translating that melody that I hear into a verse. Like, it comes naturally because I have that background. I grew up playing piano. I played guitar in high school, did the flutes in middle school, did the oboe in high school. So I do have a musical background. I've actually tried writing songs before, but it's not easy. I might dabble into it again, do a collab with someone, but mm-hmm. I'm more of a poet. I call myself a poet.
No, it's funny how musicianship, not exactly in the conventional sense, not how you think about a song, ties into poetry, because poetry still has rhythm. It still has a meter. The words that you're reading out should flow. They should have a ring to them. I was reading through your poetry and I'm noticing it's in rhythm, it's meter. If I read it out, it's going to flow, it's going to sound good. And I was just wondering, how did she get that? Because you need to have a little bit of musical knowledge to get that right.
Sometimes when I, and not all of them follow a pattern. Like nowadays, most of my poems don't rhyme.
Yes.
In the past, most of my poems did rhyme. Just mm-hmm. because. Anyway, a lot of us were taught in school that poems should rhyme.
Yes.
And that gave a lot of people a headache, actually. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, a lot of my poems don't rhyme because mm-hmm. when I talk and when I think, I don't think in rhyme. How can poetry flow naturally? There's nothing wrong with rhyme. I actually think there's a time and place for it. But I wouldn't let that stop anyone from writing poetry if... Mm-hmm. the poem doesn't rhyme. But I find that when I write, I sometimes start moving a bit. I give myself a bit of a rhythm because I picture the person, like the reader, sitting there reading mm-hmm. my post on Instagram, and I picture them reading it out loud in their head, or even actually reading it out loud. And I want to engage them, and I want to write something that retains in their memory. And
right.
Having a rhythm helps, and having even just repetition, like mm-hmm. The poem that I was talking about, Everyone is Fucking, like that one has repetition mm-hmm. in the first line. There's actually a lot of repetition embedded in it. So it's like rhythm where it helps you remember it, and it really drills in like a message at the very mm-hmm. end. Right.
And I've noticed that a lot of poets use slant rhymes where it's a word that doesn't exactly rhyme, but it's somewhere in the same realm where you can have your A sound, like say or date, and it's somewhat similar. So you can always use that, but you don't need that strict rhyme scheme. When we're taught poetry or how to write, we always are told that you have to follow these rules. You've got to stick to these guidelines. You've got to do this or it's not good. But once you learn more about it, you realize you can do anything you want, and you don't have to do everything according to the book. You can actually go off and experiment on your own. And I feel as though that's where the best work is.
Yeah, exactly. Because trying to limit it, because it does feel like you're limiting yourself when you're only thinking in terms of, okay, what does day rhyme with? There's mm-hmm. say, there's way, but what else is there? Is there anything else? You start having a very restrictive mindset, and that really hinders that creative potential that a lot of people have, but mm-hmm. they doubt themselves. And so there's writer's block, and then there's also, I don't even know what to call it, like a writer's hesitation, like an inability to write because you're held back by your own doubt and your own insecurities. So I think that... And I've heard a lot of other people say it where you just write as a stream of consciousness and then go back whenever you have the time and work through it again. I know that a lot of my poems are written in one sitting because I wait for that inspiration to hit. But that's different for everyone. So there really is no one way to write. And that's the beauty of poetry and really any creative pursuit.
Yes. You mentioned before that you had your computer you usually write on. Do you also write on a notes app on your phone so you can capture something in the moment? Or how do you capture ideas once you get them?
I do. So that's a fun question. I do have a system. Usually when I get an inspiration, my go-to is the notes app on my phone. And then I actually have a section called writing. And these days, like recently, I've been coming up with a lot of titles for poems, just not the poem itself. So I'll write the title there. I'll give it like a new thread.
A hook almost.
I'll just write something so that I can remember it and go back to it when I'm ready. And then I will usually write the majority of the poem on the notes. And then when I think I'm done or almost done, I actually move it to Google Docs. So I have a folder on my Google Drive that's called Poetry and Prose. It's divided by year, not topic, because I actually like to go back to a certain year and observe my own growth. I'll just open up a new doc for 24 and I will paste the poem there, make some last edits. And then I actually date the poem. So I wrote completed, I'll write completed, I'll write the date. And then right below it, I write inspiration. I like to remember because sometimes I do forget with a lot of the poems that I've written. I write the exact inspiration that inspired the poem just so I remember it. And then it just adds, it's just to ensure that I remember where this is coming from and I'm able to tell a story again.
No, I love that. That's so methodical, even writing the inspiration, because even I, and I've known other people, you have all these hundreds of pages of notes and you go back and you're like, what is this? I don't even know what I was writing there or thinking of. And it's hard to expand on it once you want to go back, revise and edit it. So having the inspiration there and why you wrote it is a helpful tip. I was wondering, how do you go about sharing your work with others? Do you wait until you're finished or completed a whole book or your poem? You said you released a book. Did you wait until you were finished the book to share it with others, or did you show others poems during your process?
So I only started posting about my book after the book was published, but the second time around I would actually start posting about 2 months before. It's just because I actually wasn't planning to publish my book. I just wasn't planning to. I never thought that it would become anything. In the back of my head, I was hoping that I could publish it someday, but didn't think seriously about it. It was actually a conversation I had with a friend last summer. And so I told him I'm a teacher, so I get the summer off. And then this friend goes, if I was a teacher and I had a summer off and I like writing, I would publish a book. And he just put that idea out there, let it hang in the air. And I was offended. I was like, teachers, we deal with a lot throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So it's not that easy. But then I was like, he has a point. That was the last thing that made me realize, okay, I think it's time to publish this book, because these poems have been in hibernation since I was like, I don't know, 13. And so it's about time. So that's how the first book came to be. And after publishing it, I had a moment where I was like, okay, so what? Like, what happens? And so I created a little marketing plan that's very formal, just like a bunch of the list on my notes. Where I'm like, okay, I'll post the preface with pictures, introduce the chapter, start taking pictures for social media. Maybe I'll do a paid promotion on Amazon and Instagram. I will make a video for Christmas. I will send my book to these local bookstores and see if they want it. I even sent it to my grade 12 English teacher. I went as far as I just like anyone who might be interested. I just sent it to a lot of people, made a list of video ideas, like videos I could do as real Instagram. And nowadays I post daily. I try to share the works of other local artists as well. I like supporting local. And I try to post strategically. For example, tomorrow is Maya Angelou's birthday. So I'm going to post a poem that was inspired by one of her poems. With April being Poetry Month, I've been really pushing for it. I've submitted an ad for Instagram. I'm like really trying to push it out there. So that's what I'm doing now. But for my second book, I would definitely say I would start promoting earlier. My only concern is just like a personal thing. I just felt like with my first book, if I didn't have the book out there, I felt like I wasn't promoting anything. What was I exactly trying to promote? Like I didn't have anything. So that was just a personal thing. I just didn't feel like I could promote. I think that was like the modest side of me. I was like, I don't have anything yet. But I don't know if I'm rambling. Yeah. That's just like my
Well, I love that. I love how you have an encouraging friend who said, you know what, you should do it. I don't know why you're not doing it. And then you took initiative yourself and you said, I'm going to write a book. And then you did. And just having that community there, that people you can reach out to and say, here's my book. Do you want to read it? Do you want to find it? Tell me what you think about it. Give me feedback. And yeah, even supporting local, because everyone thinks that you have the world and you've got to go online and have this huge internet presence. But sometimes if you can just go to a community center or a local place, and they love seeing what others in their community are doing. So that's a wonderful marketing opportunity.
It is. And I have, I'm actually seeing someone right now. And something he told me was that the audience, like your readership as a poet or as an author, is actually, it's largely other poets and other authors. So really good to connect with each other and support each other, because poetry is a very small, close-knit community. There's not many of us. So the stronger we are together, and the stronger we just are on our own as well. So it's really good to support each other and honestly just be inspired by each other. I've read a lot of amazing things out there since I've joined the poetry community at large, and learned a lot. Went to some workshops. Like there's a workshop that's run by another local poet in Mississauga called Exprose. And I've gone to two of their workshops. They're all writing workshops. Lisa Shen is the current Mississauga Youth Laureate, and he runs workshops regularly as well. And I go to those as well. And it's just really nice meeting other poets, listening to their stories, and then being inspired by their writing.
Especially nowadays, everyone has this fear of AI and technology and everything taking over. But if you can have that relationship, you can build that community, your words are always going to be more impactful than what a computer can write. You're going to be able to connect with others far better than whatever else the AI, the technology that's out there can.
Yeah, and I know AI can be very powerful. Like there could be a day when AI can write really original poetry that sounds like someone actually wrote it. I don't doubt that. I just really love the authenticity of knowing that somebody, a real individual, sat down and heard whatever thoughts and feelings they had. And there's just something so sincere and so raw about that. And I really hope AI does not consume that and take over. And if it does, I hope that somehow writers, poets, whoever, artists, they still have a place in this world where AI is so prominent, because there's something so beautiful about it. And I really hope it doesn't go away.
Yes. No, I don't believe that AI could ever take the place of a human writer, because if you use AI, or if you've ever used it before, everything is in the same tone of voice, even if you're writing poetry. And the amount of time it will take you to structure a prompt for AI to get what you want, it's not worth it. You can write it yourself. faster and it can be more authentic. So I do believe that there's still going to be a demand for writers, for poets, and it's not like a disappearing craft.
Yeah, I really hope not. I've tried to generate a poem on AI just to see what it's like. And what came out was, I was like, I would never soap with this poem. It just sounded so dull and so emotionless. So I was like, you know what? There's poets. We have a place in this world. Like, we need us real poetry.
No, I've tried it myself before, and it's just the same rhyme scheme over and over again. And you're like, this is too structured. It's like what your high school teacher said you should write.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it makes sense because if a robot generated it, it doesn't have feelings, right? I'm just going to generate a bunch of repetition because that's what it thinks poetry is. But that's not what poetry really is. Poetry has the emotions in it. So it's different. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap up this episode now. Can you share some links to your website or where people can find your book?
Right now, my Instagram page is the most active on it. So people can follow me on Amy Leo Poetry, AmyLioPoetry. My book is on Amazon and it's called Can We Talk About It? Poetry and Art. And there's actually, I just want to let people know that the first chapter one is completely available, completely free on Amazon. So you can actually look through everything in chapter one before considering if the book is meaningful or resonates with you. Whoever is listening, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can DM me on Instagram. You can send me an email. I guess I can share my email at amyzxliou@gmail.com. You can always send me a message there as well. But yeah, I look forward to connecting.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. And thank you, listeners, for listening. If you like this podcast, please share it with a friend or family member. And yeah, have a wonderful day.